Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I feel like a dork because once again, technology struggles.
It's
But
okay.
I'm excited for today's chat, and I'm always excited to chat with you. How are you?
Yeah. Well, it's really gloomy and dark here, and we've had thunderstorms today, so who knows what will happen. My kiddo got me up pretty early because storms are scary. But yeah. Means I wasn't late, so we'll take it.
Yeah, fair enough. I've been getting Voxers from your kiddo now. It's pretty fun new addition to my life.
Yeah, she's got a
Mm
strong emoji game. She puts a lot of care into this, so it's her love language.
And she just sent me a message this morning that said, "I would like for you to come by sometime soon."
Just swing by. It's just a little 13-hour drive.
I know. It's
Yeah.
more than that. It's like probably like 18, I think. Well, I don't
Really?
know.
You know,
Pennsylvania
it
is
might be.
huge.
I'm so used to thinking of it from Baltimore. I don't live in Baltimore anymore.
And no one lives, well, lots of people live in Baltimore, but none
Yeah.
of us.
None of us. I took myself to the yarn store yesterday because I needed needles. And you know, I know that sometimes we talk about needles, but I just wanted to say, like, the longer the stick part is on my circular, like the it makes a huge difference. Like I've been knitting this knit purl texture, and I changed from my interchangeables, which are like the needle part is like 3.5 inches, to like standard. And yeah,
Oh,
they're short. They're short.
I hate short needles. I've been using the needles that I took from you, right? So I was at Jen's last week, everybody, for photography, and I wanted to swatch my next cast on. And so I took a pair of size sixes from Jen, but they're like a 16 inch or something. So the
Are they bread
needles are,
cords?
yeah.
Yeah, they're Shiagos. Yeah, those are my faves, and that's what I got this time.
Well, but the needles on those are not the full length of a
No,
full
because it's a
length
short
circular.
needle. Yeah.
And I hate it. That's why I always knit magic loop or half loop so that I can still use the big needles because otherwise it just slows me down so much and it feels so awkward and it messes with my weird hand, I think.
Well, it
But
messes with my not weird hands. So, this is a tip because we're going to be talking about beginner knits for folks who might be struggling with their needles, or their hands cramping, or their hands getting really tired. Especially, I find when I'm working a knit purl texture, it already takes a little bit more control to keep your tension even. That you might just consider trying a circular with a longer needle, or even going to straight needles.
yeah. I do think that when I use smaller needles, like a short, not smaller gauge, but shorter needles, I worry that I'm knitting loose, even in stockinette. And I rarely worry, but I can feel that there's a difference in my ability to hold the needle. So,
Totally.
yeah, that is a great tip for beginners. Straight needles, I sometimes do knit with them, but I do think it can be difficult to do a whole project with straight needles because they feel a lot heavier if you're knitting a garment with straight
Yeah,
needles.
for
It
sure.
obviously has to be seamed also, but it's like a workout for your hands and wrists. So if you're doing something at a slow pace, though, in a way that can be good if you have healthy hands and wrists to build some strength. But if you have sensitivities, that might not be your favorite thing.
Yeah. So when we talk about beginners, you and I are usually talking about beginner sweater knitters who are probably not beginning knitters. Do you think a sweater is ever like the right first knitting project?
I might be the wrong person to ask because I've only taught one person to knit ever. And I taught them, their first thing that I taught them to knit was a sock, which is basically if you can knit a sock, you can knit a sweater. So I would say that, like, if you are ambitious and if you have support of someone who's like helping, then I think it is okay. I don't know if I would learn how to cast on with a sweater, but because it's a big risk. But if you've done enough like squares or scarves or maybe a couple hats and you feel like you're ready and you want to take this on and you know the risk, then like, cool. Right? Because there's always going to be beginners that do it anyway, whether it's a good sure. idea or not.
Yeah. I would say if somebody is going to make a sweater their first garment, I would do a flat piece and I would do the sleeve first.
Yeah. Or at least even if it's circular, I would do it from the bottom up and do a sleeve first.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I did.
Yeah, because you get to practice some of that stuff. Well, here's what I usually say when people are like, am I ready to knit sweaters? Is like, first of all, can you maintain gauge?
Yeah.
Right. Second, can you read a pattern? Right. That's a whole skill that we need to have in order to make a garment. And then third, do you have an adventurous spirit? Like, or are you going to get caught up if it's imperfect? So, you know, once you've got those three things, I think you're ready for sweater knitting.
Yeah. And I also want to say that, like, because there are a lot of crafts and we come to them in all different ways, a beginning knitter is not necessarily a beginning garment maker. So if you have right. sewn garments, then it feels like a lot less of a jump to start knitting a garment because the understanding of the construction, at least on some level, is there.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about beginner knitting a little bit right now because we're going to do a piece on the website in a little bit about beginner knitter patterns. And, you know, there's just a lot there and I thought it might be a fun topic to cover. Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody comes to you and they want to know, hey, what should I look for now that I've got these three things under my belt, right? Like I can maintain gauge, I can read a pattern, I know what the shorthand means, and I'm ready to like just get my hands messy. What do you tell them to look for in a pattern? What's the your top two things that you tell them to look for?
I mean, I would probably suggest a stockinette pattern for someone's first pattern. Unless they are already very experienced with lace or texture in like shawls or something. Because that's a lot to take on, shaping and texture and making your first garment. And I don't know. I mean, I think I would probably suggest to someone that they make a seamed garment. And I feel like you really like that suggestion too.
Yeah.
But I think it's like the opposite of what a lot of maybe yarn stores suggest to people. Or when we talk to knitters, it feels like a lot of people think knitting a seamless top down is like the best place to start for a beginner. But yeah, I would want to challenge that a little because I think it's easier to correctly work a piece when you're working it seamed, and you will make fewer mistakes and potentially have fewer fit issues. And I think you would be more likely to maintain gauge because you're always knitting flat instead of going back and forth and dealing with smaller circumference, large circumference, and usually a garment has some amount of flat knitting in it as well, even if it is circular and top down.
That's right. There's almost always at least some. I totally agree with you. I think that what I hear from knitters, one of the reasons that people are nervous about doing a seamed piece is they're not sure if it will fit. And I will tell you that I see just as many, you know, first sweaters that are knit in the round that don't fit as I do pieces that are in the round. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of people are struggling to make that transition from large circumference to small circumference to flat as they're working their in the round seamless garment. So there's a lot more opportunities for your gauge to get weird on you. So mm-hmm. I would say that if you do plan to make your first garment an in the round garment, to make sure to swatch small circumference and large circumference and flat and make sure that you are getting that gauge. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I also really like about
needle sizes. Sorry.
Yeah. You may need to change needle sizes, right? That's what we do when we don't get gauges. We change needle sizes or needle material, right? We can move back and forth between metal or wood or, you know, carbon or plastic, like whatever Mm-hmm. Whatever you have on hand that can help you make a gauge change too.
Mm-hmm. What were you just about to say?
I was going to say that one of the other benefits of working on a seamed piece is that if you do need to rip back, and it's pretty common when you're new to need to rip back, if you only need to rip out, you know, a few rows at the top of your shoulder, that's way better than having to rip out the entire top of the yogi or sweater. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you have any doubts at all about how it's going to go and you think that you might be somebody who's going to want to rip back to fix an error, then working a pieced garment is going to give you a lot less re-knitting to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say the very first garment I ever made was seamed, and it was like a cardigan that had a super deep, wide V. So it wasn't a ton of knitting. Mostly it was just the back and the sleeves. But it fit me a lot better than my second ever sweater, which was knit in the round. And I ended up having a tighter gauge, and it ended up being too small on me, ended up being like tight, and it was supposed to be like a nice oversized feel. So it just worked out a lot better for me. I think my gauge probably changed knitting in the round. Maybe I swatched flat. It was a long time ago and I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also a lot more compromises that are made in beginner in the round knitting patterns that can impact fit. So, you know, if you're making a pieced garment, it's easy for the designer to give you instructions that are easy for you to follow that result in a great fit, whereas the same instructions in like a seamless in the round raglan might have you doing something different on the body and the sleeves and the back all in the same row. So the knitting experience, my printer is popping off for no reason.
Every printer is haunted and they just come alive when they want to come alive.
Well, an hour ago, I printed like an entire year's worth of bank statements so I can nail down my taxes. And apparently it's just going to sing me the song of its people.
Jen has been doing taxes forever. We do taxes very differently.
Taxes. So, yeah. So I would say that the knitting experience can be a lot easier with a pieced garment too, because you're only doing one thing at a time. Let's say you are knitting a bottom-up garment. You're going to have that entire body to kind of get into the swing of it, right? Before you start doing any of the shaping for the underarm. Whereas in a top-down seamless garment in particular, you're going to be doing like 8 things right out the gate to set up that neckline, set up the shaping, and be doing some complex stuff. So, you know, if you want a simplified knitting experience, and if you want to be able to check things off your list as you go and get that sense of accomplishment, piece is going to be the way to go.
Yeah. And if you are making something that has any design element incorporated, like a panel, I would say if you are ambitious and you want something that has like lace or cables, look for something that has like a panel instead of an all over texture, right? So that it will be less likely that you have to do a lot of increasing and decreasing into that stitch pattern. And if you're doing a seamed piece, even more so, you're only going to have to handle a motif in like one section of it, instead of when you're going top down, if there's any sort of motif, I feel like it's a lot more difficult to be jumping in right off the gate and have to work a motif and usually have to work some shaping in it.
Yeah. And we're talking about these two methods of assembling a sweater as if all pieced garments are bottom up and all in the round garments or seamless garments or garments are top down. And that's not the case. So for beginners who do want a seamless in the round experience, I would recommend that they do a bottom up. The only thing you have to do when you're done is close up the underarm. And if that's a little wonky, it really doesn't matter. So yeah.
I think bottom up garments are a lot easier because you have a lot more time to just get into the groove of the actual knitting and making the fabric, whatever the fabric characteristics are, so that when you get to the point where they're shaping, you have already really like kind of gotten a handle on the project. And you can run lifelines through and easily pull back if you need to. I would say another tip is to use a lot of lifelines if you are a new knitter. Anytime you're getting to a new section that feels tricky, you can just run a spare piece of yarn through and have that place to pull back if you need to.
Yep, totally. I like to keep when I'm doing a raglan, I also like to keep my waist yarn in place so that I can count the number of rows I've worked. So that's another lifeline tip, can give you a great way to count your rows. Mm-hmm. How about fiber for first-time sweater knitters?
I would knit with non-superwash. Anything non-superwash wool is what I would recommend if you are new to knitting garments. There are plenty that are super soft if that's what you're after. Look for something that's, you know, maybe a rambouillet, a merino, a targi are pretty soft usually. And you're just not going to, the yarn's not going to fight you the same way that it will if it's slippery, if it's alpaca, if it is silk, if it's cotton. I love all of these fibers very much, and a lot of my sweaters are knit with them when they're not with non-superwash wool. But they're trickier to work with. And even like UX knitters that are experienced sometimes tell me that when they're doing a warm weather piece, they find the silk really splitty, or the cotton is harder to work with, or linen the same. So, you know, if you knit that first garment with non-superwash wool, it's going to be super easy on your hands, clearer to work with. I would look for something plied, not single ply, so that it's just an easy knitting experience. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, I think the overall theme is you want to reduce the number of new things you're doing at one time. So it's your first garment, work with familiar fibers, work with familiar stitch patterns. And I would also say to go ahead and work in familiar time increments. So if you're used to a 200-yard project or a 400-yard project, plan for yourself a 200 to 400 yard experience and then plan in a break, right? So it can be surprising for people who are used to doing smaller projects how much longer it can take to make a sweater, and you can feel unmotivated if you take a break. But if you plan those breaks in ahead of time, then you're not going to be discouraged because things are going the way that you expected them to. You're not going to feel like, oh, I might put this down and forget where I am. You're going to plan to knit a ball of yarn, take some notes on where you are, go get that quick instant gratification, bang out a pair of socks, whip out a hat, come back to it. And so I recommend that you pick a project you'll be excited to wear 6 months from now. So right now we're talking about spring. We're getting ready for spring garments. We're casting on things that we're going to want to wear in 6 weeks. But if you're newer to garment knitting, maybe now's the right time to cast on a fall sweater so that you have time to work on it, come back to it, get bored, get irritated, get re-excited, and then have something ready to cast on. And future you is going to think that past you was such a good planner, and you'll be able to wear your garment right away instead of needing to wait till next spring to wear your cast on from this spring.
Yeah, there is really something quite nice about coming into fall with an almost finished sweater on your needles, because you can just take those last few steps and be so fall. You will be the front of the line for the pumpkin spice, whatever, in your new cast on or That's your new finished project, really. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep a notebook for my projects. And I write down like what my working gauge was when I swatched, what my blocked gauge was from my swatch, what needles I used specifically, how long they were, whether they were the sharps or the regulars. Keep all that written down. And then when I put my project down, I also leave off where I am, how much more I have to go, what I'm going to do next. What size I'm knitting.
I'm going to take one of my blank notebooks and turn it into a project notebook. I don't do any of that, to be real. And
I take my ball bands in there.
I leave my ball bands in a specific place until I'm done with the project. So I do save those always, but I don't take any notes. And I sometimes have to like swatch again, or like, if I take the needles out of a whip, that's it.
Game over. You know, it's never going to finish.
Probably never finish. No, I might as well rip it out then, because I won't know for sure what size the needles were. I mean, I can usually tell when I start knitting something that it's wrong size needles, but you know, you have to do a bunch before you can see that.
Yeah, so, I've learned to like at least Jen. Never put in a placeholder needle. Like, never do that. If I'm going to put on waist yarn, then I like leave a slip of paper like this is where I've left off. But if I put in substitute needles, even if they're like ones or twos, it's never going to happen. But at least if I have it in all my needles written down.
All of my needles are ones or twos. That's how I screw myself the most, because I take the ones out of something and put twos in to hold it. And I'm like, I'll come back to this later. And then, yeah, I did that when I was first knitting Alice, and I put her on hold so that I could knit another bra or something. I don't know. And then when I went to finish it, I'm like, these stitches look so sloppy. What is wrong with this?
Wrong here. Yeah.
And like 4 inches later, I was like, this is definitely not the right size needle. Definitely not. Yeah. I had to pull back. Yeah.
That makes sense. So
I think it's funny that earlier I was like, Jen and I don't do taxes the same. And now everyone can tell exactly what that means based on this project notebook conversation.
I like having it. It could be cuter. I'm always like, so aspirational. It's like, I want a pretty journal for my knitting. Like, girl, you're just going to staple a bunch of bullshit in there. Like, don't do it. Use the one you started.
I mean, at least pretty on the outside. I will say that my personality type is sort of chaotic and unorganized, but it makes me really love an organizational system. And then once I adopt something, I use it forever. So from the outside, people think I'm a systems gal. But on the inside, I'm like a monster. Chaos monster.
No, not so. You're very organized. So are there any other tips that we would give? Oh, I have one. I have one last tip. And that is practice with kids' garments. They go quick. Somebody will grow into it eventually if your gauge isn't perfect. You can practice all the same techniques you'll use in an adult garment. You can get the hang of a lot of different constructions quickly. And like the yarn is inexpensive. So, you know, if I want to make something for myself in the yarn that I want to wear myself, that's a much different investment point than a kid's sweater that I'll give to somebody else when they're pregnant in like X years, right?
Yeah. I'm jealous that you started your journey that way because to elaborate, Jen knit like a ton of baby sweaters because she wasn't confident to knit a full-size sweater yet. And then basically stockpiled all these baby sweaters when she didn't know anyone that was about to have a baby. But then you must have looked like such a thoughtful person for so long to just be like, here's the baby sweater.
Yeah. And it's like cashmere baby sweater. Yeah.
Right. And you could just give it to any old person that you don't even have to think they're the bee's knees because you just have all these baby sweaters. Baby sweaters are fun to make too. I've only made a few for my nephew and I really enjoyed making them.
Yeah. They're fun. Yeah. Also, it's fun.
Yeah. It did get me back into knitting adult sweaters when my nephew was born and I knit him a few sweaters because then I learned to knit,
there really weren't patterns that were going to fit me and I definitely couldn't afford even inexpensive yarn in my size. I was very much a broke college kid, like working 3 food service jobs. Like there was no fancy yarn budget.
Yeah. Because knitting was my hobby at a young enough age, I was still getting like birthday presents from my family and stuff. And I had them, not like my family doesn't give me a present now, but you know what I mean. So I had all of this, like I would always ask for gift certificates to my favorite online yarn store. And then
I
had stockpiled all of this really expensive, nice yarn, some of which became my first designs like basically 15 years later. But, you know, I would occasionally like trim out my stash, but I would never get rid of like the really nice stuff. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that was how I ended up having enough sweater quantities of nice yarn to be like, I'm going to do this. But if I had made a bunch of baby sweaters first, then I'd have a lot more adult sweaters that I like now, I think.
Maybe you just have a lot of baby sweaters. Maybe you'd be like obsessed with knitting baby sweaters.
Oh, I don't like that for myself.
<I do. laughs>
But I do think knitting 3, 4, 5 will give you such a handle on construction and what you like, and you know, you'll feel like you can do it.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of beginner sweaters, I have the SUNUP re-release is happening like in like, I don't know, 4 days, 5 days, soon. 6 days, something. Yep. Next week.
Yeah.
Next week. Less than a week.
Next week.
Yeah. And is I'm bringing Monday? That up because this is, it's a top-down seamless raglan, which we know is a construction that a lot of people like to reach for those first projects. And I do think it is an appropriate garment for a first sweater project. Again, I would want you to be really good at maintaining gauge, and I would want you to be able to read a pattern before tackling it. But this is an older pattern from my library, and it was one of the more basic designs that I put together when I was first becoming a baby designer, and it's gotten a little bit of a refresh. It's gotten an extra size, so the size range is expanded. It's gotten bust darts, it's gotten a tubular bind off, and it's a much cleaner knitting experience than when I was first learning. So it's received the benefit of all of y'all's feedback over the last 4 years. So yeah, I'm really excited, and I can't wait to share it with everybody in a week.
Yes. And we have a little more about that in our last episode, if you want to dig into it. I'm going to have a redesign, a sort of facelift design releasing in a couple weeks, two, maybe 3 weeks, the Clearly hoodie. And that one is, Jen and I have been going back and forth about whether or not it's a good very first sweater because there's an all-over texture. But it is a simple all-over texture that's made of just knits and pearls. So I think if you're an ambitious first garment knitter, you'll be fine. It's a bottom-up seamless raglan, so you will have plenty of time knitting straight to get a handle of the knit pearl texture before you start doing all the decreasing in the raglan. But yeah, I'm just really thrilled to have had the chance to refine that pattern without changing a whole lot about the fit besides adding bust darts and adding some options, but just to make it, like you said, a cleaner knitting experience, a more straightforward pattern. Sometimes it's amazing like how much I've developed like feelings about the way that a pattern is put together, because I don't remember having such strong feelings when I was knitting.
Yeah.
Some of our knitters definitely have really strong feelings about how patterns are put together. And I'm glad because it's given me really useful feedback. But when I was just knitting and not designing, I was like, I would take whatever. I learned to crochet in like 1990. I mean, I learned how to crochet in the year 1990. And yeah. Crochet patterns that my then, you know, 70-year-old grandmother was giving me, I have no idea what time period they were from, but I don't even think it was 1990. So, they did not have abbreviations. You just had to know.
Yeah.
So from there, anything feels useful.
So yeah, that's what's going on. If you want to see me, I will be in Portland for the Rose City Yarn Crawl next week. I have two things that are going on. I will be at DIY Bar teaching a workshop on wardrobe. This is going to be just a really fun, laid back wardrobe planning workshop. And we will go through a workbook. We're going to do some coloring. I'll have some samples you can try on if you want to. So that will be a lot of fun. And then Friday, I will be at the Naughty Lamb tabling and having sweaters also for you to try on. So if you're crawling and you're going to be out at Naughty Lamb, come see me on Friday.
Yeah. And send us pictures. Tag One Wild Design so we can share some of the fun at Rose City Yarn Crawl. And by we, I mean me. I will be in Florida. At one point, I was telling you that I was going out to Portland, but I backed out. It's too long of a travel day for me, but I may make it out there another time. For sure. I hope everyone enjoys, has super fun, And we'll have more events together to announce soon. And shout out to anyone that was with us at Moon and Yarn. It was a lovely evening in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, super fun. All right, girl.
Okay, well, let's go live our days.
Yeah, happy let's get out of here everybody. Before the thunderstorm cuts us off.